Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Rimrun League Podcast. I'm your host, former NFL scout, Tyler Roman. Today's episode, I'll look back at the Week 2 loss to the Detroit Lions. It's another disappointing performance by the defense. They need to right the ship soon before the season gets away from them. I'll preview the Week 3 matchup versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly's 2-0, coming off a dominating performance on Monday Night Football versus the Minnesota Vikings. A lot to get to, so here we go. First, I want to start off a little bit with Jack Del Rio's comments from last week and even Ron Rivera's comments this week. You know, Jack basically threw Jamin Davis under the bus, saying he hasn't played how he played over the summer and his potential to an extent. It's negative comments about a young player. It's only going to diminish his confidence even more. Basically saying Jamin played okay. I'm not saying Jamin played great, but I just don't believe you do that to a guy that's definitely developing. And honestly, it's on the organization for the way they picked him. Jamin, you know, flew up the draft boards right before the season, soon right before the draft began, that, 2021 draft. He was more of a second-round, third-round talent that flew up draft boards because of his measurables at the combine, and he had some good tape at Kentucky, but only played 1 year at Kentucky, really. He really only started 1 year. He did only start 1 year. So, you know, there was a lot of potential-based traits, and sometimes potential comes to haunt you. Like, sometimes those players don't hit the potential for a myriad of reasons. But Jamin Davis is a guy I'm still high on. He's all the physical talent in the world. Yes, it has been a great year and two games. They messed up by making him a Mike linebacker right away. He wasn't a Mike in Kentucky. He never was. I don't know why they did that. So they can't fault him for stunting his development last year when it was on them. Jamin Davis is a guy that is an outside linebacker, and when he plays free and doesn't have to worry about calling plays, he is a lot more loose. He had a nice sack on a rush against Detroit last week. He isn't very good against the run right now. He needs better at shedding, blocks. And obviously, that's not a great trait to have as a linebacker. But, hopefully in time, that will come. I just don't see the way that Jack approached it was correct. And, Ron kind of even backed up Del Rio's comments later in the week. And now Jamin's obviously upset making that Instagram post he made. Talking about criticism. Now deleted, but obviously everyone's already seen it. It is what it is. He's not happy about it. And I don't blame him. Like, he's a young player that... As a young guy, I think 23-ish years old, and someone that's no one's fully developed or mature at that point. And, of course, if your coaches are talking bad about you, how else are you going to take it? So, I just feel like Jamin, they're really – it's not going to end well. I don't see if they could maybe trade him in the next year or two. They're not going to – he's not – I don't know if he's going to hit his potential here just because it seems like the coaches aren't behind him at this point. And it's a wasted first-round pick, and that's on Ron. He's the one that's in charge of personnel. His picks have been, kind of questionable. Chase Young obviously was a home run. Everyone knew he was the second pick overall. You don't really applaud him for that. Antonio Gibson was a good pick in third round for the most part, minus the fumbling issues in that draft. Cam Curl was a great pick, but that's more probably COVID. Cam Curl was not a seventh round player, but he didn't get as much, film and tape and didn't have a combine. If he had a combine, I'm sure he would have had a much better, draft stock. But and then obviously, last year, Jamin Davis wasn't the great pick. Sam Cosby's been okay. John Bates was solid in the fourth round. St. Juice and De'Ami Brown are leaving a lot to be desired. St. Juice can't catch. That was in Minnesota. I noticed that in college, and that was on display against Detroit last week when he dropped it, interception. It would have been a tough play, but St. Juice can't catch. And then this week, and this year, obviously, Jahan Dotson seemed like a hit, and that's great in the first round. And that's after training back, but Jahan Dotson's a guy that I really like. Fidarian Mathis is a guy that was overdrafted. He shouldn't have been a second-round pick. He's already gone for the year. Brian Robinson's a guy that there's hopes for, obviously, the horrible off-the-field in this incident, but this team needs him. They need someone that's going to hit the hole hard and, get those tough yards. So I think that he hopefully will be a quality third-round pick. Fourth-round, Percy Butler probably was overdrafted. He's a special teams player that's not really anywhere near playing defense right now. Cole Turner's been hurt, so, I didn't mean to get on the soapbox about the draft, but it's not like Ron's had a great draft ever since A.J. Smith left. So I think he could be in trouble just because his coaching hasn't been great. I think he has two winning seasons in 11 years or three. So it's not like he's a great guy. I like Ron a lot. He's been really good for this organization to turn them through this culture change. And team change, name change, whatever you want to say, but it's becoming evident. And now that he's, you know, making comments about, like, even this week talking about it's not scheme, it's one player missing an assignment each play, and that might be true, but I don't know the reason why you would say that in the media, because that player already knows they messed up, doesn't need to be pointed out. Yes, he didn't name them by name, but I just don't feel like it's the right move to do it, and that's when you can have players questioning, you know, leadership. So moving on to the game, Carson Wentz up and down. Like we know the Carson Wentz experience to be, they were making momentum in the second round, assuming the second half, before he had that high ball to Logan that led to an interception. You know, kind of stunted, you know, a good amount of momentum there. Carson, obvious line wasn't great, but did hold the ball a little too long as well. Inaccurate on some throws, had some nice throws down the field. I like that he throws the ball down the field. It's, you know, refreshing to see from a Washington quarterback, which not really is very prevalent in this offense for years now. But, you know, the interception, like I said, probably was, you know, the biggest bugaboo. But also the defense played horrible, so Carson always was trying to make plays down the field, and when you do that, you're going to take more risk. And, you know, that ball to Logan was high, led to an interception, like I said, killed some momentum. But, you know, Carson, again, has been a quality quarterback for the Commanders the first 2 weeks. He's definitely not the reason for this 1-1 start, or even it could have been 2-0 if the defense, you know, played just adequately. And the offense obviously didn't play well in the first half, too. I'm not saying that, but offensive line didn't hold up. You know, Aiden Hutchinson, the rookie, second overall pick, had 3 sacks, made it look easy against guys like Leno and Cosme. So offensive line didn't hold up, and it's obviously going to be a hindrance on Carson. And that goes into my next point. Couldn't get the run game going. Gibson only had 14 carries for 28 yards. There wasn't a lot of holes there. But also, he's a guy that just needs to be more decisive with his cuts and get upfield. I'm glad he's holding on to the ball, but, you know, definitely needs a little more seasoning when it comes to the running position. They do need Brian Robinson Jr. Brian's a guy that's obviously a natural running back, gets upfield, a bruiser type of runner, and someone that this team is, you know, going to probably lean on a lot once he comes back healthy. Chase Roulier is out now in the second straight year. He's going to have probably a season-ending injury. Wes Schweitzer, as long as he's healthy, is going to be ready to go to the starting center. They're going to need a backup. That's why they signed Nick Martin, the former Raider and Texan center. He has a lot of starting experience. Got to pick up a guy like that to come in and back him up. Because if not, it would have been Wes Martin, or they had Sadiq Charles taking some rest at center too. So Wes is going to be the starter. Hopefully he's here on week 3 against Philly, because they have a tough interior front. But Nick Martin's a guy I'm sure is going to probably be active, even starting Sunday, because he has a lot of, you know, NFL experience. Receiver-wise, Curtis was great again. Eight catches. Great touchdown, holding on the ball there. And it was a nice design play coming out of the backfield and a wheel route. Great throw by Carson. Really happy to see Curtis hitting that potential that I thought he had all along coming over from Carolina. Jahan's a stud. Great catch down the field. That touchdown was a beautiful route off the line. Beat his man easily off the line. Got a, you know, separation right away. Gave Carson a good target to throw through. Tough catch. Dotson's a real deal. 3 touchdowns in 2 games. Obviously, that's a great pace, but, I mean, he's looking at 7 touchdowns this year. Easy the way he's been playing. The yards will come. And Terry's only 4 catches, 75 yards. A great catch in that deep ball. Really want to see Terry get the ball more. He dropped a screenplay, but I want to have, you know, some more screens running for him, drag routes, slants. Just give him the ball in space. Terry's a guy that can break tackles, and, you know, with the speed, obviously can break open games. So he has a great YPC right now, yard per catch. I think it's 22 yards a catch, but definitely needs some more balls thrown his way. Logan Thomas had a touchdown. It was a beautiful route. Good catch. Good throw by Carson. Interception to him, obviously, really wasn't on him. High ball there. But glad to see Logan getting healthy and getting more reps, you know, getting acclimated, coming back from that torn ACL. O-line was bad, like I said. Wasn't great. Carson held on to a little too much as well. But just really, you know, bad day, the obvious. For a Detroit defensive line, it's really not that great. So it's not a very good sign going forward. Defensively, there was no real pressure up front. Montez was kind of neutralized by Penei Sewell, Taylor Decker. Jonathan Allen's going with that groin injury, wasn't really fully 100 healthy. You could tell that. Deron didn't make too much of an impact. Casey Tuhill made a few nice rushes, but, you know, they no real pressure up front. Like I said, they need to bring more blitzing. That's the only reason the defense turned around last year, is because Del Rio finally, you know, started bringing some more blitzes, and that's why Jamie Davis got a sack on that first series of the game. Derek Forrest, again, was the best player in the secondary, in my opinion. He needs to continue to play. If Cam Crowe has to go play Buffalo Nickel or vice versa, I think those two need to be out there. Cam Crowe, I think, is the best defensive player in the secondary for this team. So obviously he's not going to lose playing time, but, you know, Forrest is a guy that deserves to be out there. Very smart player. He's a hard hitter, really good ball skills for a strong safety, and good against the run. So he deserves, you know, as much reps as he can get. Kendall's kind of bad again. He's been struggling. William Jackson was okay. struggled with miscommunication in the secondary again. This is, you know, a big point why Amon-Ra St. Brown had that huge play down the field, wide open, two guys with one guy, leaving St. Brown wide open in the middle of the field. And you can't let that happen. Amon-Ra St. Brown is one of the best young receivers in the NFL right now. Good slot receiver, was very, you know, was a sleeper going to the fourth round coming out of USC. And obviously should have been drafted a lot higher. But obviously a bad performance all around. And a lot of that's going back to the offseason, bad personnel decisions. Didn't retain Tim Settle after they cut Ioannidis. Didn't really make a play to get another linebacker to go along with Cole Holcomb and Jamin Davis. There's no secondary depth outside of Kendall and St. Juice. I mean, Kendall and William Jackson. St. Juice, like I said, mentioned earlier, dropped the ball on a slot. He's not a nickel corner, but they don't really have anyone else to do it. St. Juice is not really a slot corner, in my opinion. No one really is. Kendall's not playing like the way he did his first tenure with Washington as a slot. He needs to be on the outside. Bob McKean's been okay at free safety. Derek Forrest has been, you know, very nice coming in, playing for Cam Curl, but there's no depth in the defensive line, especially with Mathis gone now. Even, you know, they have a guy like James Williams or Casey Tuhill opposite of Montez after Chase was going to be out. They knew, and F.A. Obata's getting reps there, obviously, too, but they knew Chase was going to be out, and they did make an effort to really go after someone that could really help them. And defensive line-wise, like I said, the biggest bugaboo for me is, like, why not bring back Tim Settle if Ioannidis? You're cutting Ioannidis. So, you know, you can't even be bad about some of the performances. The personnel's not there, and that falls on Rivera and the front office. So, moving on this week, the Eagles defense, you had Brandon Graham been there forever, Fletcher Cox been there forever, Javon Hargrave now their best interior defensive lineman. He had a great year last year, Pro Bowl year last year. Josh Sweat on the other side of Graham. He's the guy that got an extension last year, too. He's a solid edge rusher. Kaiser White, T.J. Edwards, Hassan Reddick on their linebacking core. Reddick's really more of an edge rusher still, but he plays a stand-up as well. Secondary, you got James Bradbury, Darius Slay, Vontae Maddox, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Marcus Epps, their two safeties. Gardner-Johnson was a steal they got from the Saints on basically cut down deadline day for a guy that's a really quality slot and safety. Very, very good versatility coming over from New Orleans. Hargrave and Fletcher Cox are top stop up front. They really need Sweat West to play. You don't want Nick Martin starting, basically coming off the street week one, or week three for him, but week one for him. Week one for him, but week three, obviously, in the NFL season. Need West healthy for those two. Son Reddick can be tough off the edge, especially with his quick first step. Need, you know, Charles Leno to be on his A game, and as well as Sam Cosmi, obviously. T.J. Edwards, not the greatest in coverage. Hopefully they can utilize that matchup, whether it's J.D. McKissick or Logan Thomas over the middle of the field. Kaiser White's a small linebacker, really built like a safety. They need to run right at him. Granted, running game hasn't been great, but hopefully they can get Gibson going. Need to target James Bradbury. Terry cooked James Bradbury all year last year when he was a member of the Giants. And Terry's had some success against Darius Slay in the past as well. But Darius Slay just coming off a great game against Justin Jefferson. Granted, Kirk Cousins threw him two balls right to him, but you know, I really want to see if we can get Terry on James Bradbury, because James can't hang with him, and James can't cover Curtis Samuel or Jahan Dawson either. So you want to avoid Darius Slay if you can. I still think Terry can make some plays against him, and even Jahan and Curtis to an extent, but I would definitely look at that matchup going against James Bradbury. Vontae Maddox can be beaten in the slot as well. Curtis or Jahan, I think, can, you know, go after that matchup. But Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, like I said, was a good pickup. He's a guy that's going to play in the slot as well, and, you know, play in the box and up top. So he's a good safety. Eagles offense. Jordan Mailata at tackle. Landon Dickerson, Kelsey, Silmalo, and Lane Johnson. Really good offensive line. Probably top five, top six in the NFL right now. Jalen Hurts, obviously. Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell, two top backs for them. A.J. Brown, the offseason addition for the first-round pick they got from Tennessee. Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, Dallas Goedert. Really good, solid group of playmakers over there in Philly. Good O-line, like I said. So Washington needs a breeding blitz. They're not going to get – I really don't think they're going to get pressure against that front the way they played against Detroit. So they need – Jack needs to make some adjustments. Bring Jamin, you know, from his linebacker position. Bring Cam Curl. Looks like he's going to be able to play after being able to be cleared. He can blitz. He's an effective blitzer from the secondary. But again, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and Dallas Goedert will be tough to contend against, especially the way Kendall and William Jackson have been playing as of late. Devontae Smith is, you know, one of the quickest players in the NFL right now. Not the greatest long speed, but very quick in and out of his breaks. Great hands. A.J. Brown's just a tough, tough receiver over the middle. Big dude. Tough to bring down. Hopefully William Jackson can, you know, at least keep him in neutralized. Dallas Goedert is going to be tough to cover in the middle of the field. Cam Curl's been locked up on him in the past and done pretty solid, so hopefully Cam can be out there. Has to play better versus run. We know how horrible the run defense has been. They're going to run RPO to Jalen Hurts, and Jalen's going to have the field day if they don't figure this out, because I'm not as concerned about Miles Sanders or Kenneth Gainwell, but Jalen Hurts is obviously someone that scares this defense and should scare Washington. So he's coming off probably the best game of his career, running and passing, looked great against Minnesota, stayed in the pocket, hit his three-step drops, got the ball out, and obviously had some really nice runs as well. So Philly's clicking on all cylinders. To me, they're the best team in the division right now. I even said that, I think, in a summer podcast preview in the NFC East. So they're looking good. They have an explosive offense. They finally got some weapons over there after the bad pick of Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. But now they, you know, drafted Devontae Smith, traded for A.J. Brown. Quez Watkins is a really good speed guy for them as a third option. Zach Pascal is a good fourth receiver for them. They really need Cam Curl back just for communication purposes on defense. And he's, like I said, he's the most talented secondary player, in my opinion, on this team. So be huge to have him back. And, you know, hopefully we'll give that defense a little bit of a spark because they need it. Having said all this, I don't see Washington winning this game. I have the Eagles winning 31-21. I just think the offense is going to be too tough for this Washington defense to handle. I think Carson hopefully will play pretty solid to keep this team in it, and obviously have, you know, semi-revenge playing against Philly for the first time since he was traded for them in 2021. Well, with that, that'll conclude the Run Around League episode. Hopefully this team can rectify a bad defensive start and fast, because the Eagles have an explosive offense right now. If they don't, it could be a long game Sunday. I'll be back next week looking back at the Eagles game and previewing the first matchup of the year versus the Dallas Cowboys. It'll be a chance to get a win versus a wounded division rival. You can follow me on Twitter at NFLScout21 and Instagram at RomeRunnerLeague_pod. Thanks for listening. Please rate and subscribe. This is your host, Tyler Roman, signing off. See you next time.